There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Hello and welcome to the Guitar Nerds Home Recording Podcast, a new four-part series all about home recording, the equipment you'll need to transform your gigging or practice rig into something that allows you to create great music at home, and maybe some hints and tips on how to get started or how to improve. I'm your host, Joe Branton, joined this week by Focusrite's Simon Poulton. Hello, Simon, and welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for having me. Hello to everybody there.
Yes, absolutely. Now, obviously, Focusrite are a massive and, you know, hugely important company within the recording world, both professionally and for those, you know, creating their own home studios. And we'll obviously be delving into that during this episode. But you yourself are also a producer and a bass player. You play bass for Josie and Corey Bantick, and you've created remixes for some of Josie's tracks. And you have an absolutely incredible bass collection, as we've spoken about just before starting this podcast, in order to keep this podcast on track and me not just go off and talk about bass guitars. But I guess tell us a little bit about what got you into recording rather than just bass playing.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I suppose my move into recording, I mean, I first got the bug when I sort of relatively early in my bass career sort of started messing about with like looping and just doing like solo tunes using a loop pedal and some effects and stuff like that. And back then it was just recording onto like a little Zoom, like hard disk recorder, which was good fun. But obviously then you would load it into your computer and you just had a WAV file and you'd put it into a WAV editor and do what you could with it. And so I did that for a couple of years, and then a band that I was sort of touring with at the time, we started to do more recording, and that involved us. We didn't live particularly close to each other, and so the easiest way of doing it was to record our parts and then send them to each other, and then eventually when we did the album, send it to the person who was mixing the album. And so I sort of scrabbled together some gear with the help of somebody who I was living with at the time, and he had a computer that had Cubase on it, like some really early version of Cubase. I can't even remember what version it is, CE or something like that. And he also happened to have a Focusrite, I think it was the vocal track, which I think was, this is sort of delving into my legacy product knowledge now, but it's basically like a two-track vocal preamp, essentially, with a DI in it as well. And he had all that hooked up, and so I was like, oh, can I borrow your stuff? And so over the course of, you know, a month or two, I was recording my parts for this album, using gear that I had no real idea of how to use, but was essentially just, you know, a preamp with a digital interface with it into Cubase, and did all my parts like that and sent them off. So and then, you know, a couple of years down the line, I had some friends who were working at Focusrite, and they'd just released the Sapphire series, and right. So I got my hands on a Sapphire Pro 24, I think it was, and got hold of Logic and then just sort of went from there and just sort of continued doing, you know, remote recording and bits and pieces like that. And now pretty much everything that I do, certainly for Josie, and then Chorobantic previously and a few other projects, every bit of recording that I do, I mean, especially given current sort of situation worldwide, everything is remote.
Right.
So yeah, I mean, even before
we were stuck in. So
that's it. Yeah, I mean, like I say, with the Josie band, everybody's dotted about, and so it's not particularly easy to get everybody either into one place to record, you know, to travel just to sort of do a song or something like that. And most people in the band are, you know, decent producers, certainly decent to the level that you can plug your bass or your guitar or whatever into an interface, record your stem, and then just send that as a WAV file to the person mixing it.
That's kind of it about the way home recording has gone. You actually don't need your entire band to have an incredible setup, because as long as you can capture it, and because direct recording, you know, without, certainly on bass, you know, direct recording without sort of miking anything up has come along such a long way. As long as you can get that raw file across to someone who can, you know, mess around with it, then you're already in a fantastic position.
Yeah, absolutely. Like you say, you don't need loads of, you know, to get recording. If you're in a sort of a band situation or an artist situation that requires you to record remotely, you don't have to have loads of mixing chops or mastering chops or anything like that. You just need to know how to get your guitar or your bass or piano or your vocal into your computer with a light, nice clean recording, and then you just send that to the person mixing it, and hopefully they know what they're doing. So it really does open up a world of recording to people who don't necessarily need to have a lot of knowledge to start.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's become, you know, and especially with things like Focus's Scarlet range, which we'll get into shortly, especially with ranges like that where it goes down to things like the Scarlet Solo, it's become incredibly affordable to do that. You're talking, you know, less than £100 to have the interface that's gonna do the recording, and then kind of as long as you've got your live equipment that you can capture that sound for, well, that's almost the only expense. Obviously you're going to sort of need monitors, the computer, the door, potentially headphones and anything else, but as a super basic, very mobile setup, that interface is going to do an awful lot for you just as a basic.
Absolutely, and like you say, it's certainly with our Scarlet range and with our Claret range as well, it's more about choosing what inputs and outputs that you need. Largely the feature set across the ranges, within the Scarlet range and then within the Claret range, the feature set is generally the same, and so it's just about choosing how many ins and outs and how many ins and outs that you want. Like you say, with the Scarlet Solo, there's one microphone input and one instrument or line input, and so for like a singer-songwriter who just wants to get some, you know, demo tracks down or just record them, you know, record an album themselves or whatever, that's a, you know, a fantastic place to start. If you're a drummer and you want to record, you know, eight microphones for a band, or just to sort of see, or just to start practicing recording, then yeah, like the 18i20 on the other end of the spectrum in the Scarlet range can let you do that.
And then
we've got like the studio bundles as well that come with the a condenser microphone and the headphones, so you can, if you really want sort of to get started and you want everything in one box, then they're really great places to start as well.
So the bundles, I thought they just existed at the Solo range. They exist at other tiers as well, do they?
We do the Solo and the 2i2.
So, like
I say, the Solo, which is one XLR input and one instrument or line input, and then the 2i2 has two combination ports, which
XLR
is,
or jacks.
Exactly, yeah. So you could have a combination of either two microphones or two instruments or one or the other, and yeah, like I say, they come with headphones and a nice condenser mic and
Yeah, which is a great idea because it's kind of an all-in-one. It's a great way to get started. Now, I guess, well, actually, first of all, what do you use then at home for your own setup? And do you do the main production for all of the for all of your stuff that you record? Are you the band member assigned to that, or does it go elsewhere?
So, using the Josie the band as an example, I'll be in charge of doing all my bass parts, and usually I will go. I use a Claret 4 pre, the 4 pre for my Claret range, Claret 4 pre USB. So I use one of those. Generally speaking, I'll plug my bass, and I've got like a Noble bass preamp.
Very nice.
Yeah, which are fantastic. Which is for those listening is essentially a tube bass preamp, and that then goes into the Claret, and then I just record into Logic, and then I don't do anything to the bass part within Logic. I don't compress anything. I don't do anything with it. I literally send the raw bass recording as a WAV file over to the guitarist, who then mixes everything once he's collated everything from the rest of the from the rest of the band members.
I see.
Yeah, so my home setup is a 4 pre. But with anything else, like if I do like a remix for somebody or if I'm writing my own material, then yeah, I'll just do all that at home. I wouldn't go out to a bigger studio or anything like that. I'd just do it all at home.
Of course.
Although I should mention, actually, for this podcast, I am using a Scarlett Solo. So this is the solo with the microphone as well.
Ah, there you go. Yes, actually, I too am using the Scarlett Solo. I think I've got one of the, because it's on the third iteration now, so I think this is, I'm a generation behind, I think, on the Solo. It's just, it's easier to have something very small that's just dealing with my mic than to set up the rack of stuff I have over the other side. So, but yeah, the funny thing is, speaking about the Solo, I was like, surely the Solo is Focusrite's best-selling product. It's under £100. Most people are either going to be recording a guitar or they're going to be recording... I mean recording direct in, or they're going to be recording using a mic, whether that's for vocals or miking up an amp. And this has the two inputs. Kind of for anyone doing one thing at a time, which I would assume is most home studios, the Solo kind of covers all bases. But it's not the best-selling product in the Scarlett range. That would be the 2i2.
Yeah, the 2i2 is by far and away the biggest selling interface that we have, and is I think it's actually the biggest selling interface
in the world ever
is the 2i2. So yeah, like you say, I think that again the Solo is fantastic. I think that people like the options of saying, well, I might want to record two microphones at the same time, and certainly like moving into this era of like podcasting and things like that, being able to have a conversational setup, two microphones, is a really good way of doing it.
Yeah, absolutely. And then also if as we were speaking about on 2 weeks ago episode from when this one comes out, or actually also on last week's episode, a lot about the dual miking of guitar amps and kind of how to achieve that, the 2i2 actually will allow you to do that, whereas you could still do it with the jack input, I guess, on the Scarlett Solo. It's Scarlett Solo is more geared towards a single thing being used at one time.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I say, the Solo might be good for somebody who just wants to do a single simultaneous recording at the same time, or like a singer songwriter. But like you say, 2i2 would allow you, like as a bass player, like often I might choose to record a DI straight into the interface, and then also put a microphone in front of a cab.
Right.
And so the 2i2 will allow you to sort of do that mix and match recording, and then choose what you wanted to do in the mix process, which of them you wanted to use in the mix process.
I see. And so within the kind of the USB interface range, Focusrite splits into two areas for sort of the home level stuff, which is Scarlett and Claret now.
Mm.
There's a massive range of interfaces in the Scarlett range that kind of deal with everything you might need. But what separates the Scarlett and the Claret from each other?
Yeah, certainly from an audio spec point of view, the Clarets are a step up. Both of the, like in the third generation, of the Scarlett, the third generation, when we launched the Claret range, we introduced our Air feature, which is a hardware emulation of our ISA, like the mic preamps on our ISA range.
Which is an incredible thing to include on sort of, you know, relatively entry level price point.
Right, absolutely. And so that we introduced that in the Claret range when we first released those. And when we did the third generation of the Scarlets, we decided to also add that Air feature into the Scarlets as well. We found a way of doing that. And it's a nice way of sort of drawing on our heritage with our most, well-sold interfaces as well. So it was a really nice way of sort of tying those two together. And so both of the ranges have the Air feature. The Clarets do have a better audio spec. And that's what obviously, you know, increases that price point as well.
I always thought the Air thing was an unusual thing to add. I was surprised when it turned up on the Scarlet, just because I always thought that was the feature that separated the Claret from the Scarlet.
It was certainly one of them, absolutely, but there is more. Like I say, the audio spec is a step up, and I think that when you are if you're in that kind of situation whereby you want to up your productions, don't get me wrong, the Scarlet sound absolutely great, but when you want to sort of go that step further, the Clarets will allow you to do that from a sort of a fidelity point of view, you know. And then there are other things like so for example, in the Scarlet range, the 18i8 is the first time that you get the ADAT in. That's the first moment in the range, the 18i8, right, where you get an ADAT import, which allows you to sort of break out into like another eight channels, like a mic preamp or something like that. In the Claret range, that the smallest in the range, the 2 pre, has ADAT input as well. So that lends itself to sort of, well, you know, I want to be able to record more channels, but I don't want to have a massive interface. So you could have a 2 pre for when you're in your home studio, and then if you're going to a larger studio, you take your 2 pre, you know, plumb in an 8 channel mic pre, and then you've got 16 channels to play with. So things like that.
I guess that expansion's really useful. This special home recording series of Guitar Nerds is sponsored by Neural DSP. And now Guitar Nerds listeners get 30% off all Neural DSP plugins with voucher code GUITARNERDS. Neural DSP create unique industry-leading guitar and bass plugins designed to make you sound exactly how you want without any sacrifice in tone or dynamics. Their range includes signature plugin rigs available from some of the best modern guitarists in the world, like Corey Wong, Tosin Abasi, Adam Nolly Getgood, and Pliny. Plugins like Corey Wong's Archetype give you everything from crystal clear cleans and edge of breakup blues brashness, whilst the 14 series brings out all the crushing modern metal distortion you could possibly need. The point is that there's an amp here for every type of player, and with a 14-day free trial of any of the plugins at neuraldsp.com, with no credit card required, you can try before you buy and then purchase with the confidence that you're buying the right rig for you. And don't forget, enter code GUITARNERDS at the checkout for 30% off all Neural DSP plugins. Follow links in the description of this podcast or visit neuraldsp.com for more info.
So so the Claret range comes with the BrainWorks Focusrite console plugin, which they released about a year ago, I think it was, and that is effectively a VST emulation of the ISA 110, which is the EQ module, and the ISA 130 dynamic module, which is the compressor limiter with the de-esser and the expander and the gate and things like that.
I see.
So that sort of BrainWorks pulled all that into a single VST, and you know, we sent them some cool old hardware to work from.
That's incredible. I mean, that's incredible that you're getting that stuff on the Claret. I mean, the ISA range is something that always really excited me, and I guess one thing I've almost bypassed here is talking a bit about the history and the heritage of Focusrite, because the the ISA stuff is very much, you know, a kind of a cornerstone of what has always been the Focusrite thing.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, whether, you know, whether your listeners sort of know any of the history, I mean, the company was started by Rupert Neve. Obviously, that name comes with a, you know, a lot of history. So the company was started back in 85 by Rupert Neve, and then sold to our founder, Phil Dudridge, in 89. And 89 is where the company sort of really started to ramp up. And they, in 89, that's when they sort of started with the Forte desk, like the big desk with all of those essentially ISA modules in.
Yeah.
And I think there's five left in the world, four left
really?
In the world.
That's what makes all the outboard ISA stuff so appealing
right
now, is just that you can have a slice of what, you know, what kind of started all of that. The sort of the, you know, the gold badge of recording quality you can now get as a little piece of outboard gear, essentially.
Absolutely, yeah. And you know, people still go mad for the Lundell Transformers.
Well, of course, yeah.
And because they sound great, and like I say, the ISA has a tone and a character, and while essentially on with our technology and the work that we do, we want to be moving forward, and we do, but that little air feature is just sort of like a nice little tip of the hat back to the ISA way of doing things. And but don't get me wrong, like the ISA range is still a current range, and lots of people still really love it.
Yeah, absolutely. I use an ISA one,
right.
Yeah, more or less for everything. Like I bought it to couple with a nice mic that I got because in everything that I read up on it, it was like, oh well, this particular mic was originally intended to be used with, you know, the original, mm-hmm. The original Neve or ISA stuff. And so the ISA one was a fantastic option for that. I kind of use it for everything now, just for running basses straight into as well.
Yeah.
'Cause it has kind of quite a nice range of subtle range of like tone shaping abilities on it as well. So, I think you can get something incredibly high fidelity and very clean from an ISA one. And so, yeah, for sort of vocals and for just direct recording bass, I think it's an ultimate solution. But the ISA stuff is aimed maybe a little bit less at home studios and a little bit more at professional studio spaces and things like that.
I would say so. Although briefly bringing it back to bass, I actually know a bass
sure.
player uses one live.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he uses an ISA one just as his preamp and then runs it into a power amp and then into his cab. So yeah, they sort of turn up in strange places.
Yeah.
But yeah, sort of the you know, the higher end, like you say, I've seen a few ISA ones in home studios, and then sort of going up into the rack units, you start to seeing them in the bigger studios. If the bigger studios are lucky to have like all the old red stuff as well.
Yeah.
Like you'll see that an ISA 430 with working with them and things like that.
Well, speaking of the red stuff, so the red compressors were Focusrites. I don't quite know the history of the Red 2 and 3. I only knew them as plugins that you got with the, you know, with every sort of Focusrite, and they were really good as plugins, but they originated as actual sort of relatively famous rack mount compressors.
Yeah, absolutely. And well, there was a whole range of them, EQs, compressors. I think there was, I mean, I would have to maybe go back and check this again. This is testing my legacy knowledge, but I think there was a power amp as well, right. Which was, I think, a little bit short-lived. But yeah, the old Red range were super well thought of, and you know, sometimes they come back onto they come back onto to eBay, but really not very often. I had somebody, a media partner who I work with, and they really wanted to get hold of one of the EQs, the Red EQs, and they were like, if you ever get one into the service department and it's not, you know, it's not going anywhere, then can you let me know? And it's like, no, they really do, they just go back straight out to the people who sent them in, because yeah, nobody's selling them.
No, yeah, of course. But that's, that seems to, the preamp, sorry, the plug-in version of the Red 2 and 3 compressors seem to have been something that have been like a free feature with all of the Focusrite interfaces forever.
Absolutely, yeah. We redid the 2 and the 3, the 2 being the EQ and the 3.
Oh, sorry, yes. The 3's an EQ, the 2... the 3's... Is that right? 3's an EQ, 2's a compressor.
2 is the EQ and 3 is the compressor. And they come with our Scarlet range, our Claret range. So again, like we spent a lot of time, you know, working with the hardware and developing that VST. So, you know, again, effectively with one of the Scarlets, you're getting the air feature, which is pulled straight from the ISA. And you're also getting, along with the other software bundle that we can talk about, the Red plugins as well, which gives you a really good emulation of the old Red units as well.
Yeah, I mean, that's a pretty good starting point for anyone having access to, you know, plug-in versions of such wonderful legacy gear, all kind of now starting at the entry-level price point on the Scarlets. That's a very decent selection of bits and bobs to get started on. Okay, so from a home recording perspective, what would you recommend for people? Like, where should people start? Is the Claret range worth going for? Do you need to couple Scarlets with ISAs, as I have done? I guess that. What would you recommend a sort of home recording studio in order to make sure you can capture everything from sort of vocals to guitars to bass?
I think a really good place to start is the Scarlet range. I think if you're new to recording, or even if you've not, even if you've been recording for a little bit and you simply don't have an interface yet, I think the Scarlet range is a really fantastic way to start. Like the quality is extremely good. The price point is there for those people who it matters to. We've tried really hard on the Scarlet range particularly, to just remove as many of the barriers as we can to getting started as we possibly can, because, you know, and you know, you and I are sort of like, and probably most of the people listening are very geeky about our instruments. Like, we know a lot about gear, like about bass guitars and guitars and things like that. We know a lot of stuff, and we spend our time looking on eBay and looking on forums and stuff like that. We know everything there is to know about bass and guitar and things like that. But even those people, like, if often talk to them about recording, and sometimes it can be like, oh well, I, you know, it's a bit of a dark art, or and you know, I've never really known where to get started. And so that was, they were the people, like the people who wanted to know but just hadn't really sort of taken that first step. We really wanted to remove the barriers to getting started. So with our Scarlet range, like you plug the unit into your computer, and a little Scarlet icon comes up on your desktop, and you double click on that, and then it takes you through a bunch of questions like, what do you want to record? do you want to record yourself? Do you want to record a band? You know, number of questions. And then it puts you in front of content like, this is how to get started with your Scarlet Unit, doing this particular thing that you want to do.
Yeah.
So this sort of quick start tool is, if you're not quite sure what you want to achieve or how you can achieve it, then the Scarlet Range, as soon as you plug it in, it's gonna start you on that journey, and then just sort of moving up from there. If you've already done a bit of production, or you want to upgrade from what you've already got, then the Claret Range is a really good place to go there. Like I say, a higher audio spec, some other sort of plugin software included in there that again is sort of on that medium to advanced level of mixing and things like that, but certainly just getting started, the Scarlet Range is a really good place to start, and really the only really choices that you need to make initially are how many channels, input channels and output channels, you want to start with.
Yeah, of course. And you know, that you know, you talk about the quick start thing on the Focusrite website. Listener, there's even a guide to what interface is right for you on there, which is very helpful if you're not sure. From kind of the massive range of Scarlet and Claret stuff that's there, you can answer a few questions and it will give you options and compare them, which is very useful. But there's also kind of quite a lot of education stuff. Like it does feel like Focusrite are trying to be, you know, more than just a company that create recording products. As you say, you're trying to, you know, break down the the boundaries to recording, but you have like a second website, like a pro Focusrite, which is dealing with more of the, you know, stuff like RED and the ISA and bits and bobs, but you have loads of guides and videos on there as well, where engineers are talking through kind of their setup and how to achieve different things as well.
That's it, absolutely. So the Focusrite Pro side of things, like you say, covers the ISA range, our RED range, and then our RedNet range, which is audio over IP, which is a whole other conversation. And so that part of the website, that sort of secondary website, is very much focused on solutions, like workflow solutions and things like that, and again, you know, they're the kind of people who know a lot about it, and actually they just want to be able to apply their problem to get a solution, and so that's what that website is for, is to sort of talk through these workflows and how we can solve particular problems and things like that. You know, and a lot of that's like broadcast. Like we had a bunch of redneck for the last couple of years now, we've had a bunch of RedNet, like broadcasting out the Super Bowl and, you know, lots of other things like that. So that's the pro side of things. That's a whole other story.
I see. And, you know, my favorite thing to talk about plugins wise, you guys also do additional sort of software solutions separate from the ones that come on the interface, in the time and tone stuff. It's soft tube stuff essentially that you've teamed up with them for. But are they specific plugins for Focusrite?
So if we're taking the Scarlet bundle, for example, the Claret bundle's essentially the same, but you get the Brainworks as well. But talking about the Scarlet bundle, essentially what we've tried to curate is a suite of software that lets you get started with everything that you want to do. So you'll find a couple of DAWs in there, Ableton Live, Pro Tools First, and then like you said earlier, the RED plugins, XLN keys, and then the soft tube time and tone bundles, which is a reverb, a distortion, delay, and a mastering tool as well. So that's their time and tone bundle. So I think that's a commercially available thing from soft tube, but we include it with our Scarlets and Clarets as well. And then on top of that as well, if you're a Focusrite hardware owner, and you register your product with us, we also do our plugin collective, which is, every 2 months, we introduce a new plugin collective offer, and we partner with third-party plugins like Positive Grid, Nugen Audio, UJam Mastering the Mix, and things like that. And we give away one of their one of their plugins. And often at the same time, it will be like, have this plugin for free from our VST partner and have 50% off of one of their others or some example like that. So we're really just trying to sort of, you know, increase people's ability to sort of to build up their library of tools that they need to get better at, you know, get better at producing.
That's our goal. That's such a fantastic way of kind of community building within all of this to just open the doors and make it more accessible. I do think, you know, plugins especially is such a minefield when you start of kind of not knowing where to go because there are a billion of them. And, you know, there's a billion of every different type of thing you need from a, you know, a compressor to a guitar amp. There's so much, it's so difficult to know when you start out. So having something like the Plugin Collective that is educating people on what the sort of best bits are, you know, these are the brands that Focusrite are willing to partner with. So it's kind of a good guide for people getting started as well.
Absolutely. And like I say, you then get a couple of months to really dig into to that plugin. Like you say, the choice nowadays is crazy. Whereas if this is the only sort of free platform, if you like, of getting plugins, you can really sort of dig into, you know, the latest offer that we're offering, you know, for a couple of months and really get into that. And then the next one comes along and you're giving yourself quality time with that tool to really learn about it. So that's a nice way of doing it as well.
Yeah, super cool. Well, that's about all the time we have for this week's episode of the Guitar Nerds Home Recording Podcast. Thank you very much for joining us this week, Simon. It's been great to have you on board.
It's my pleasure. Thank you very much for having me.
Not at all. Now, of course, dear listener, if you know you are just getting into this, you definitely want to visit focusrite.com and check out everything. It's such an incredibly substantial range of bits and bobs that I'm sure you'll find something for you there. And you can, of course, follow Guitar Nerds on all the major social platforms with @GuitarNerds, or join us on our Facebook group at facebook.com/groups/GuitarNerdsForum, and on our Patreon at patreon.com/GuitarNerds. We'll be back next week with more of this guitar nerdery. Farewell.